I don't know how many of you have either seen the movie Mean Girls or have seen the musical Mean Girls or now the movie musical of Mean Girls, but one of my favorite things in the movie is how Gretchen Wieners is trying to make the word fetch a thing and how she's told all the time, Gretchen, fetch is never going to be a thing. Today, I want to make the word y'alf a thing. And I'm being very serious. Like, I'm really excited about the word y'alf. It's spelled Y-O-L-F, y'alf. I hope that by the end of this episode, you will join me in using y'alf because it's going to be a thing. I know it. I can feel it. Somewhere, it's going to be a thing. We're at the part where Nephi wraps up the words of Isaiah, and he now decides to transition into some new topics. And I'm grateful because I'm good with Isaiah for a minute. We're going to get some more when we hit Mosiah. But as he is transitioning his topics, he says this in 2 Nephi 26:14. He's talking to you and me. He says, but behold, I prophesy unto you concerning the last days, concerning the days when the Lord God shall bring these things forth unto the children of men. By these things, he's talking about the Book of Mormon. And so he's really talking to you and I. And because he's talking to you and I, he is trying to give to us some warnings along with just some information that we might want to be thinking about. For example, if we back up a couple verses here in chapter 26 in verse number 10, he says, and when these things have passed away, a speedy destruction cometh upon my people. For notwithstanding the pains of my soul, I have seen it. Wherefore I know that it shall come to pass. This is the part. And they sell themselves for naught. For the reward of their pride and their foolishness, they shall reap destruction, for because they yield unto the devil and choose works of darkness rather than light, therefore they must go down to hell. Nephi sees that his people are going to choose darkness over light. And we know what happens to them because we have the whole story. He also, though, is giving that as a precursor to the latter days, that we're going to, in the latter days, sell ourselves for naught. It will be filled with foolishness and pride, and that will yield unto the devil. So we're going to give way. We're going to yield unto the devil, and we're going to choose works of darkness over works of light. And you don't have to look very far to see that that is a very strong reality. So as he tells us this about his people, look what he says now about us. Same chapter, we're going to jump over to 22. Nope, I'm lying to keep friends. Same chapter, we're going to jump over to verse number 20 through 22. This is him talking about you and I. And the Gentiles are lifted up in the pride of their eyes and have stumbled because of the greatness of their stumbling block, that they have built up many churches. Nevertheless, they put down the power and miracles of God and preach up unto themselves their own wisdom and their own learning, that they may get gain and grind upon the face of the poor. And there are many churches built up which cause envyings and strifes and malice. And there are also secret combinations, even as in the times of old, according to the combinations of the devil, for he is the founder of all these things, yea, the founder of murder and the works of darkness, and he leadeth them by the neck with a flaxen cord until he bindeth them up with his strong cords forever. Now, I not only just really like the word flaxen, but I love the concept of a flaxen cord. If you listen closely, he says there's going to be pride. People will create their own churches, which clearly that's something that's happening. There's all kinds of breakoffs and spinoffs. I saw an advertisement a little while ago, and it was, I can't remember, like Church of the Mountain or something. And it's like, you can be casual in our church. I mean, I do appreciate that. As I was sitting in sacrament meeting recently, I thought to myself, we need to normalize water bottles. Like, I get thirsty in sacrament meeting because at my desk all week long, and even when I'm working on these podcasts, I have at least one large beverage with me at all times. So to go to church for 2 hours and not have a large beverage, we need to normalize water bottles. So here he's saying, okay, pride, own churches, envying, strife, malice, secret combinations, works of darkness. But how do all of this take place? All of this takes place via a flaxen cord. Now, a flaxen cord, ironically, is a thin linen thread that is easily broken. So Satan is able to wrap us up in this thin little cord that clearly we could bust out of, but over time we allow it to take control of us. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. In light of all of this, really cool guy, you probably heard of him, ETB, Ezra Taft Benson, said, quote, "The Book of Mormon exposes the enemies of Christ and confounds false doctrine," close quote. So one of the purposes of the Book of Mormon is to expose the enemies of Christ. We know who the great enemy of Christ is, Satan. And so we want to understand his doctrine and what's happening. To really understand this, though, we have to contemplate something that happens at my home. A couple of years ago, for my daughter's birthday, she wanted a subscription to the People magazine. And so we got her one. And the People magazine has been a joy in our home as we all take the opportunity to look through it. And I'm not joking when I say all of us, even people who come to visit our house, on our kitchen counter generally. I don't know why. Like, it never makes it to the living room. And people will begin flipping through the People magazine and they'll look to see. And so we always are very aware of who's who in the world of Hollywood. I get literally from my teen the what's trending updates on a weekly basis, so I know if I'm in the right colors, which I never am. I'm more of like a gray, black, blue. I never get to the colors, but what's trending? But the one that makes me laugh the most is I had a countdown for a while of how many weeks in a row that Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez were on the cover. And subsequently, if Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez show up again on the cover, man, it becomes a hot topic at my house. There is a little bit of love for the Bennifer duo in my home. Now, here we are through People magazine, very unintentionally, intentionally keeping a pulse on the world. Now, think about it. In fact, those who have subscriptions to People magazine actually get their subscription a week before they hit the newsstand. So we get our subscription on Fridays, and it hits the newsstand the following week, midweek. So we have the pulse before the pulse. I know what the world is doing before the rest of the world knows what the world is doing and what's trending. Or think about social media. Isn't it interesting to see what happens with your algorithms and what begins to be fed in there? I have to laugh because in my full-time position, nearly every day I use Spanish verbally. So clearly my phone is hearing me speak in Spanish. I have started to now get advertisements that are written in Spanish. Like, I'll be going through something else and it's like, bueno, en este momento puedes conseguir eso ahora. You know, and I'm like, why is SiriusXM coming to me in Spanish? Like, I have an account that is totally in English, and but okay. Now, there's this really cool guy. You may have heard of him. His name is Bishop Waddell. In general conference this last October in Sunday morning session, so many of you probably heard it because if your family is like mine, like Sunday morning is usually the mandatory session that everybody goes to conference because you know the prophet's going to usually speak in Sunday morning and it's usually really good, right? So generally, Sunday morning seems to be like, I think if the church like did an algorithm, I bet you Sunday morning is probably the most watched. I'm going to have to look into that one. That said, Bishop Waddell spoke Sunday morning, last conference. He said this, get ready, because this one needs a seatbelt. Quote, "Although we admire and respect many talented and remarkable men and women for their abilities and contributions, the degree to which they are revered, if taken to an excess, can be the equivalent of the children of Israel worshiping a golden calf in the desert of Sinai. As adults, what was once innocent childhood fun can become a stumbling block when hero worship of politicians, bloggers, influencers, athletes, or musicians causes us to look beyond the mark and lose sight of what is truly essential. For the children of Israel, the challenge was not the gold that they had brought with them on their journey to the promised land, but rather what they allowed the gold to become," close quote. Now I'm going to read part of that again, quote, "As adults, teens, you want to be adults. You say it all the time to your parents. I can make an adult decision." So, okay, as adults, what was once innocent childhood fun can become a stumbling block when hero worship of politicians, bloggers, influencers, athletes, or musicians causes us to look beyond the mark and lose sight of what is truly essential. For the children of Israel, the challenge was not the gold that they brought with them on their journey to the promised land, but rather what they allowed the gold to become, close quote. So you and I were in a very precarious place because never in the history of the world has information about and from the world been so readily available so easily. In fact, you probably have notifications set up on your phone that are feeding it to you. So knowing then that if we allow these things to take precedence in our lives, we're making a choice that maybe we didn't mean to. So I want you to go to 2 Nephi chapter 28. And if you've got your own scriptures out and you're following along, I would label chapter 28, quote, how Satan tried to become my best friend, close quote. Because chapter 28, remember, President Benson says, okay, part of the Book of Mormon is to expose these things. Chapter 28 does this for us. And in chapter 28, Satan, he wants to tell you, hey, I want to be your bestie. And he really does. Like, Satan wants to be your BFF. And he uses that flaxen cord, let's remember, because at any time, you can break that bad boy. So what we do here is we look here to see, okay, how does he use, or what tactics does he use to become our best friend? Now, there are a multiplicity of tactics. But I don't know why I can't say that. There's a lot of things that you can do to become Satan's best friend in these verses. I'm only going to point out, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5. 5 things. But there's more in this chapter. Because the chapter is like packed of like, hey, I'm Satan, I want to be your bestie. Okay, as he's there trying to work through all of this. So the first one we're going to look at is found in verses 4 and 5. Satan tries to do this. See if this sounds like, I don't know, a social feed near you. 4 and 5. And they shall contend one with another. Sound like social media? Cool. And their priests shall contend one with another. And they shall teach with their learning and deny the Holy Ghost which giveth utterance. And they deny the power of God, the Holy One of Israel. And they say unto the people, hearken unto us, hear ye our precept. For behold, there's no God today. For the Lord and the Redeemer hath done his work, and he hath given his power unto men. Now, did you catch some of the ways that Satan tries to become best friends with us in our mortality? Well, he wants to first become our best friend through contention. If he can get you and I to get into an argument, to contend, and to have that be at the center of our communication and our conversations one towards another, he wins. Because we learn in 3 Nephi 11, contentions of the devil. The end. It is. It's his. He loves it. He wants us to argue. He wants us to strongly, adamantly disagree with each other and definitely not take the time to try to see context or to see the other side of something. Then he also says there that they do what? Well, they hearken unto their own precepts and say, behold, there's no God. There isn't any God. Now, I know multiple people who have left the faith of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and believe in a loving God. I also know the opposite of that. Many who have left the context of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and are like, yep, and they call him the Mormon God, the Mormon Jesus. Like he's fabricated somehow. Now, if he can't get you to fabricate and think that God is maybe pretend, here's another one of his tactics. Take a look at verse 6. Behold, hearken unto my precept. If they shall say there is a miracle wrought by the hand of the Lord, believe it not. For this day, he is not a God of miracles. He hath done his work. I testify of the opposite of that. That God is a God of miracles. And that miracles are wrought by our faith. And if we look for them, we can see them all the time. But part of the reason that he gets people to believe that Satan gets people to believe that God is no longer a God of miracles is because we are so busy with the adage YOLO. Many of you know what I'm talking about. And YOLO was really big a few years ago, but I know that the concept of YOLO is still really big, right? Because you only live once. It's only your life, and you only get this one shot at everything. In fact, in here, they put it in verse 7. Nephi puts it this way, yea, and there shall be many which shall say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and it shall be well with us. If ever there was a verse about YOLO, there's your scripture verse about YOLO. But remember, I told you what's the word that I want to make a thing? It's YOLF. YOLO versus YOLF. YOLO, the world says you only live once. But if you understand YOLF, you understand that you only live forever. Just because we went through the veil and we can't remember what our pre-earth life was and what that progression was like, doesn't mean that we aren't a continuum of that progression. And yes, we're here in mortality, experiencing all of this, but in the end, it all becomes one continuous flow, one big experience. So I don't only live once, I only live forever. I've been living forever, and I'm going to live forever. But again, wait, what does he say? Verse 8. And there shall also be many which shall say, eat, drink, and be merry, nevertheless fear God. He will justify in committing a little sin. Yea, lie a little. Take advantage of one because of his words. Dig a pit for your neighbor. There's no harm in this. And do all these things, for tomorrow we die. And if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes, and at last we shall be saved in the kingdom of God. Hold up. Can you imagine a perfect father not wanting us to be accountable for our actions? I mean, think about it. When people in your life don't take accountability for their actions or for the way that their decisions have collided with yours, how does it make you feel? I don't know about you, but sometimes I just want to punch people right in the neck. Now, gratefully, Heavenly Father never wants to punch us in the neck because he loves us in a way that is so amazing. But we live forever. And so to say, well, wait, I can dig a pit for my neighbor and I can, and it's not going to be a big deal. Yeah, if you're contending with your neighbor, that's a huge deal. But remember, Satan is trying really hard to wrap these flaxen cords around us. What I find interesting is that in the middle of all of this, Satan also is exposed in this way. Take a look at verse number 14. This kills me. And they wear stiff necks and high heads, yea, and because of pride and wickedness and abominations and whoredoms, they have all gone astray, save it be a few. I'm going to stop there for a second. Stiff neck, that means they're stuck. A stiff neck is not able to go from left to right. It is stuck and can only see what it wants to see or what it is in its direct view, which I think is really interesting because they've got their eyes clearly set on something and it doesn't vary. They have high heads. We all understand that visualness. You've seen that person walking by who's like, yeah, I am all that, the bag of chips and the salsa, baby. As they go by with what? Well, because of pride. And they have all gone astray, save it be what? A few who are humble followers of Christ. So those that are religious are going to be in the minority in the last days. Isn't that what Nephi's saying? Nevertheless, they are led in many instances. They do err because they are taught by the precepts of man. See, one of the things that we forget is Satan tries to be our best friend. And he really does. He wants to be in as tight as he can with you. Remember, Elder Boyd K. Packer taught, the only power that Satan has is the power we give to him. He has no power in our lives unless we give it to him. That is why he can be bound in the millennium. Because people will choose to follow Christ, and because they're choosing consistently to follow Christ, Satan's not there. He has no power. Verse 19. The kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it must needs be stirred up unto repentance, or the devil will grasp them with his everlasting chains, and they be stirred up to anger and perish. Now, what I think is interesting about that is it's gone from flaxen cord now to chains. Why? Well, if you take a flaxen cord and you wrap it around multiple times, it suddenly becomes what? More durable. If you really want to try this at home and use it as an object lesson for somebody, or maybe in your young men or young women's class, you can use either dental floss or you can use cross-stitch thread. And if you just wrap one loop of cross-stitch thread around a couple of fingers or dental floss, most people can bust that open. You wrap that around about a half a dozen times, guess what? You're not breaking it. And that's what Satan does. He keeps going around and around and around until we don't realize, like, oh yeah, I can break this. Oh yeah, I can break this. Oh yeah, ooh, I'm stuck. 20. For behold, At that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men and stir them up to anger against that which is good. So he's going to cause some of us to rage, some of us to be filled with anger. But listen to what he does next. And others he will pacify and lull them away into a carnal security that they'll say, all is well in Zion. Yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. So some of us, we won't even notice that stuff is going on. It's all good. It's all good. We don't need to worry. And thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away carefully down to hell. Behold, others he flattereth away and telleth them, there's no hell. And he saith unto them, I'm no devil, for there is none. And thus he whispereth in their ears until he grasp them with his awful chains, from whence there is no deliverance. Yea, and they are grasped with death and hell, and death and hell and the devil and all that have been seized therewith must stand before the throne of God and be judged according to their works, from whence they must go into the place prepared for them, even a lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. See, in his attempt to make us his best friend, he promises us all these really cool things, but the only thing he has to offer is one thing. Are you ready? It's one word. Misery. If you remember, back in 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 27, we learn that men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto man. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil, for he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. Or in other words, the only thing he has to give you is misery. And how do we know that? Well, back here in chapter 28 in verse number 15, what do we get told? Oh, the wise and the learned and the rich that are puffed up in the pride of their hearts, and all those who preach false doctrine, and all those who commit whoredoms and pervert the right way of the Lord. Woe, 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 not just one, but three. Woe, woe, woe be unto them, saith the Lord God Almighty, for they shall be thrust down to hell. So do you really want to YOLO? Or would you rather YOLF? I'm telling you, I'm YOLFing all the way. It's going to be a thing. I'm fetching YOLFing. Thank you, Gretchen Wieners. I am YOLFing. Why? Because I know that because Satan is vying to be my best friend, Nephi is giving me a way out. See, if I look at chapter 29 and I look at verse number 2 and then verse number 8, we're going to use these two together. You're going to pick up what I'm putting down. Verse number 2. And also, I may remember the promise which I have made unto thee, Nephi, and also unto thy father, that I would remember, this is the Savior speaking, I would remember your seed, and that the words of your seed should proceed forth out of my mouth unto your seed, and my word shall hiss forth unto the ends of the earth for the standard unto my people, which are of the house of Israel. Bing! Over to verse number 8. Wherefore murmur ye, because ye shall receive more of my word? Know ye not that the testimony of two nations is a witness unto you, that I am God, and I remember one nation like unto another? Wherefore I speak the same words unto one nation like unto another. And when the two nations shall run together, the testimony of the two nations shall run together also. What are we talking about? Well, if I really want to YOLF, I'm going to make the scriptures a center of my life. So will you, and are you studying the scriptures? How are you doing with that goal from the very beginning of the year to be in the Book of Mormon every single day, even if it's one wimpy verse? Are you there? Are you YOLFing with me? Next thing, 2 Nephi 30. 2 Nephi 30, verse number 5, and then 3 and 4. See what I'm doing there? We're reading those in a different order, but there's a reason. Here we go. We're going to start with verse 5. Second thing to really be YOLFing. 2 Nephi 5. Nope, 35. There isn't a chapter 35. It's actually chapter 30, verse 5. And the gospel of Jesus Christ shall be declared among them, wherefore they shall be restored unto the knowledge of their fathers, and also to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which was had among their fathers. And now I would prophesy somewhat more concerning the Jews and the Gentiles, for after the book of which I have spoken shall come forth and be written unto the Gentiles and sealed up again unto the Lord, there shall be many which shall believe the words which are written, and they shall carry them forth unto the remnant of our seed. And then shall the remnant of our seed know concerning us, how that we came out from Jerusalem, and that they are descendants of the Jews. What are we talking about? Well, we're talking about missionary work. We're talking about sharing our testimonies. See, Elder Perella in General Conference of October 23 stated this, quote, "When we humbly share our testimony of the Lord through our words and actions, the Holy Ghost confirms to those with real intent, open hearts, and willing minds that Jesus is indeed the Christ," close quote. So will you share your testimony? Now, if you're feeling really brave, yeah, jump up there and share it in actual testimony meeting. I would love it. I love when people testify of that, of what they know. But we also share it, how will we share it? In our actions and in our words. If you are a young man bearing the Aaronic priesthood and listening to this, I would invite you personally to prepare for and honorably serve a full-time mission. Testify, it'll change your life. I know because it changed mine. What else can I do to YOLF? I've got scripture study. I've got my testimony. So what else do I need to do? Well, here's a fun one. Let's jump back to chapter 26. YOLFing is all over in these chapters, by the way. But if I jump back to chapter 26 and I take a look at verse number 24, I get this. 26, verse 24. This is about Christ. "He doeth not anything save it be for the benefit of the world, for he loveth the world, even that he layeth down his own life, that he may draw all men unto him. Wherefore he commandeth none that they shall not partake of his salvation." So how do I partake of Christ's salvation? Well, it really depends. I partake of his salvation depending on how I choose, sometimes daily, hourly, minute, sometimes in the very second, I choose if I want to YOLF. I choose if I'm really living what President Nelson asked me to. Am I thinking celestial? Am I putting a celestial perspective on this? Because see, what happens is really Satan is up in our face trying to be our BFF, and you gotta love that he's yelling at us. He's getting us to dance our way into it with music. He gets us to sit in movies and all kinds of things to just get absorbed by his messages. When meanwhile, the Savior is there doing this. Chapter 26, verse 25. "Behold, doth he cry unto any, saying, Depart from me? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. But he saith, Come unto me, all ye ends of the earth, by milk and honey, without money and without price. Behold, hath he commanded any that they should depart out of the synagogues or out of the houses of worship? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. He hath commanded any that should not, hath he commanded any that they should not partake of his salvation? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. But he hath given it free for all men, and hath commanded his people, for they should persuade all men to repentance. Behold, hath the Lord commanded any that they should not partake of his goodness? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. All men are privileged, the one like unto another, and none are forbidden." Verse 30. "Behold, the Lord hath forbidden this thing. Therefore, the Lord God hath given a commandment that all men should have charity, which charity is love. And except they should have charity, they were nothing. Wherefore, if they should have charity, they would not suffer the laborer in Zion to perish." So based on how you and I are currently living, I have a really crazy question for you. What message would the Savior send to you? See, he's just sent these messages. Come unto me. Repent. All men are privileged. Have charity towards each other. Everyone is invited to be my friend. So if the Savior were to send you a text message today, would it be words of encouragement? Hey, keep being my BFF. You're doing great. You are YOLFing like nobody's business. Or would it be words of correction? Dude, you got to slow down on the YOLO. Satan's got a little bit of a hold on you there. But let's maybe back this up a bit. See, back in John chapter 15, verse 14, there's a scripture that says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." I'm going to be really honest. I want to be one of the best friends of the Savior. That really is one of my big goals. And if you know me or know of me, I really hope that that is what I am projecting. Because at my core, that is who I want to be. So can I invite you to do a couple of things to be a better friend to the Savior? And kind of ditch the BFF Satan that keeps showing up like a junior high boyfriend or girlfriend? First, will you go and search these chapters to find two things, Satan's tricks and Christ's messages? Will you search these chapters to find two things, Satan's tricks and subsequently Christ's messages to you? And second, will you replace YOLO with YOLF? Will you help me make it a thing? Because I testify that you are a celestial being who lives forever, having a mortal experience. So let's ditch the YOLO and YOLF. Have a great week. Take care. The Go and Do podcast is created by me, Candace Shoup, and edited and produced by Cami Fisher. We'd absolutely love it if you would take the time to follow us where you listen to your podcasts, along with download. And if you like what you're listening to, please leave us a review. We also invite you to follow us on Instagram at Go and Do Podcast. And if you want to talk to me personally, feel free to email thegoanddopodcast@gmail.com. Remember, friends, to have a good time, don't be a good time. Let's go and do.